joining us now. First time on the program. I know he has been a faithful listener, and we appreciate that. Former State Senator Rusty Glover. Senator Glover, how are you this morning?
Doing very well, Jeff. Thank you for having me on there. I heard the mention about the Highway 98 project yesterday, and that sparked my attention, and I'd like to, you know, give any information that might be needed about, you know, how we got to this point.
Yeah, so, you know, back in my early childhood, I was a resident of Sims, and even back then, it was talked about, we're going to widen it. I guess there were some environmental concerns with Big Creek Lake that tied it up. But still, you drive up past Wilmer, and it's two lanes until you hit the state line, and in Mississippi, it parts like the Red Sea, four lanes all the way beyond Hattiesburg. So, but you say there's a backstory here that maybe a lot of people aren't aware of.
And of course, you know, it's they've been calling it Bloody 98 for over 50 years. In fact, it's been a big issue and at the forefront of a lot of people's attention as far as making the improvements to the road for at least 50 years. And a lot of people don't realize is that it's the main vein of main route of traffic from the Midwest, Missouri, Texas, Arkansas, North Texas, Arkansas, North Louisiana, North Mississippi, Louisiana, to get to Destin, Disney World, Gulf Shores, Orange Beach. They go through that area. And so especially from around March to September, is extremely heavy, and in fact, it's a tremendous headache for folks that live in this area during the on weekends because of the high traffic and 18-wheelers. You know, I live right off 98, so I take my dog outside for 3 minutes. It's not unusual to count 15, 18-wheelers passing by. So it's a very dangerous road, and over the last 30 years, the numbers of businesses that have been created in Sims, if at least five times more businesses, triple the population, which makes it even more dangerous over the last few years, and it's been quite a need to have something done. I remember back in 97, Fob James, this is before I got in the legislature, in his State of the State address, mentioned the need to four-lane Highway 98 from Mary Montgomery High School to the Mississippi line. So even then, it was a high priority even to be used in a State of the State address. I was elected in 2002, and soon after I was elected, I went to visit with the ALDOT people, and they presented a plan to not four-lane Highway 98 from the school to Mississippi, but to have a bypass of 98. In other words, extend 158 that starts in Saraland that goes to Sims at this point, extend it all the way to the Mississippi line. And I felt like that was a very good idea, and I think most people out here understand the reasoning behind that because for so many years, most of the deaths were on the two-lane area because it's very dangerous and winding down on that area. It's very similar to what we now call a Bloody 45. Bloody 45 is not as well-traveled, but they actually have more deaths on 45 now going north and south than they do on 98. But over the last few years, the number of accidents have increased, and there's more accidents on the four-lane area of 98 now than are on the two-lane because of that large number of businesses and large number of people coming in and out of businesses at least tripling of the population of the Sims and Wilmer area. So to have a bypass, that was the route to go. But they also explained to me that there was a problem with there was some environmental concerns, that some environmental groups were threatening to sue or to have some sort of an injunction to stop the progress of any future plans on the bypass. But they presented to me that there would be possibly a legislative remedy to it. So in 2004, in the fall of 2004, we had a special session. So at that point, I introduced two bills, HB 9, HB 10, and those bills were to satisfy many of the environmental concerns around the surrounding area. If we could get those passed, then they would be okay with us going forward with the project. I got it passed. It actually was my first two bills that I passed in the legislature. And the dirt started flying. And things were going well for about a year and a half until the fall of 2006, there were some heavy rainstorms that came through our area. And what it did, it led to a lot of more water than usual draining into Big Creek Lake. Well, it was draining past the construction and aerial views, and pictures were taken, put in the mobile register, showing that there was a lot of red mud going towards the water supply. So that shut down the project, and it was in the courts for 10 years. And as you can imagine, with it being in the courts for 10 years, the money that was allocated to build the project evaporated. It was the money was spent in other projects. So that led us about that time was the idea that maybe we could use some of the BP money on this road project and possibly a project in Baldwin County also. Now, Troy King, the Attorney General at the time, soon after the BP disaster, estimated the general fund had lost around $350 million. Now, your listeners, I know, are educated to know what the general fund is. You know, some people you see on Facebook, they think the general fund's a slush fund for legislators. But the general fund, of course, is the amount of taxpayer money that will be allocated to mental health, prisons, Medicaid, state law enforcement. In other words, non-education appropriations. And so about $350 million was needed to that was the estimated what the BP disaster cost the general fund.
Right.
And then, soon after that, Governor Bentley was able to negotiate a deal where he got $1 billion from BP. And this would be state to the state of Alabama. But the deal was he felt like since he was able to negotiate $1 billion, he could direct the spending of it.
Right.
And he wanted to spend it all on the general fund. And there was a problem. There was a shortfall in the general fund. There was also quite a bit of money to pay back the rainy day fund, which the citizens of Alabama voted to bring money from to pay back the general fund loan. But when he did this, it outraged people in Mobile and Baldwin County. We were outraged that we were the areas that were affected most by the BP, and yet he wants to spend it on the general fund, which would be affecting other parts of the state. So we were outraged at that. Several of us went and met with Governor Bentley, encouraging him and convincing him that some of the money should be used for roads. So that resulted in the 2015 special session in the fall of 2015. Senator Bill Hightower was the sponsor of the Senate bill. I would have liked to have sponsored, but he beat me to the punch, got it drawn up, and it was a good bill. And in the House, House member Representative Margie Wilcox was a sponsor in the House. Now, the problem that new legislators have to understand when they get there is that we're at a huge disadvantage as far as pushing legislators around the state, because there's 35 senators, only five of which are from Mobile and Baldwin County. There's 105 House members, only 14 are from Mobile and Baldwin County. And during a regular session, we can make deals and try to get things accomplished that we wouldn't normally be able to do. But in a special session with so few items, we had no leverage. So we were pretty much having to make deals that we wouldn't normally make. In other words, Bill Hightower had most of the money going to our road projects in Mobile and Baldwin County, actually enough to build the projects completely. And to get other senators to go along with it, he put in allocations for funding for road projects in their districts. It passed and went on to the House. By the time the bill got to the House, which the House would not take up, and the House wouldn't take it up, is not that they didn't really want to, especially the Mobile and Baldwin County folks, but they were getting a lot of pressure from their constituents because there was a lot of propaganda moving around that Mobile and Baldwin County is trying to hijack the funding. And there was even a talk show host in North Alabama that labeled or compared our delegations to terrorists because we were taking away money that could go to save rural hospitals so people will die because we're getting road projects to the beach. That's the kind of stuff that we were having to deal with. And so the House passed a version that gave some money to us, about half of what the Senate version was, but the rest would go to the general fund. And, of course, our guys in the Mobile Baldwin delegation, when that bill came to the Senate, we were filibustering. Whereas we were promoting our bill the week before, we were filibustering the House version so that we could get the money restored. Now, around that time, with all the propaganda going around the state, one of our members got up to the mic, and I won't mention their name, but they brought up the TVA funding, and that's something I'm sure y'all will explore
right
on a date, the unfair situation with the TVA money. And this mere mention of TVA money and threatening the TVA money going to northern legislators was enough for one of the legislators, one of the senators, to go to the mic and call for a quick adjournment for the day. We felt at that point that we might not get a penny of the money. And the next day, sure enough, there was an amendment in the Senate to strip all of the money away from us that was put in the House bill. And they even cloistered us. I mean, we Republicans were being cloistered by other Republicans around the state to pass a bill that would strip us of the money for those road projects. So all this is going on, plus we're hearing back home that there are people criticizing us for not getting enough for the funding. We're having potential people running for politics saying that if they were elected, they would bleed on the floor. They'd carry us out of the – have to carry me out of the floor. Well, they didn't know what they were talking about because there was a very – very tense time of us trying to get something from these folks. But the House version did pass with stripping us the money out. It went to a conference committee. The conference committee actually put it back in, the money from the House version, and so we were able to fund at about half the level that we wanted to. But what it did do, instead of it being a four-lane road, this new bypass, for the time being, which we feel like is going to be completed around 2022, it'll be a two-lane road, which completely addresses the objective that we have, and that is getting the heavy traffic, the big trucks, out-of-town traffic, off the current 98. And so that's why it's two-lane, and that's why it took so long. But that's the pretty much how it went around in a nutshell. But we're very excited that it'll be completed sometime, we hope, in 2022, and it'll get all this big traffic off 98.
Yeah, well, but does it – you think that's sufficient that it's not four-lane? Is there any reason to think it will ever be four-lane?
Yes. We've been told – of course, I haven't been in any meetings in the last 2 years, no longer in the legislature, but we were told that money will be allocated to four-lane it. Right now, it being a two-lane road, it will be limited access, so that'll be much safer than what's going on. It'll be more of a direct path, not a lot of winding and turning.
Right.
And again, for the people that live in Northwest Mobile County, it's going to be safer because that traffic will not be on the current 98.
Yeah, so but I mean, I guess you have all these things like hurricane evacuation, 98 and 45, still just these windy little two-lane roads. But I guess where you're from your standpoint, it's going to improve the quality of life for Sims and Wilmer.
It will. Those and 45. I'm glad you brought up 45. 45. When you open up the paper and see, you know, almost just constantly seeing the deadly wrecks on 45. I don't know what the volume of traffic on 45. I know Highway 98 is one of the most traveled two-lane roads in the country. 45 is not near at that point, but the number of traffic accidents, because it winds and turns so much. That was another objective that I had as a legislature. I constantly called and begged. Every time there was an accident, I called the director of the LDOT and said, look, something's got to be done every time, because – you know, to us looking in the paper, this is statistics. Somebody else died. But to those families, the heartache and pain that they'll live with the rest of their lives was because that road was not improved. And so we did get some turn lanes and stuff put in, but it's still not what needs to be done with 45. 45 definitely needs some attention.
Yeah, you know, it's curious to me, though. It's like this, the 45 and 98 aren't the only two, but any of these U.S. highways that cross from Alabama into Mississippi, when they get to Mississippi, they're big four-lane highways that Mississippi, I guess the circumstances are different, but it does seem like there is maybe it's a policy thing that it's very insular the way ALDOT's being directed, that they're not really looking at the borders or the boundaries of the state. They're more focused on other things.
Right.
And that's why you don't have these big four-lane highways to the state lines.
Right. And I think a lot of this has gone back for many years, because traveling around the state, and I did a tremendous amount of traveling when I was running for statewide office, I would see these four-lane roads day, night, middle of the day, morning, just untraveled, very, very little traffic on these roads. But yet every time I'd see them, I'd think back and how much volume of traffic is going down 98 at the same time as where I'm driving this particular road. And it was very, very frustrating to see that. But I did know at that point that we were going to have a remedy. Now, as far as Mississippi, you know, we heard a lot, you know, why can't we be like Mississippi? Why can't we have roads like Mississippi?
Right.
Well, if you really look at the conditions of the roads and how the roads are rated nationwide, Mississippi is far behind Alabama. But now there are some roads that would get people down to the casinos that they were very much interested in getting some of those roads passed. But in other parts of the state, it's not in too good a shape.
Well, I mean, we were Corridor X, which is now Interstate 22. We were 20 years behind Mississippi on that, 72. You see that, and you do wonder about the priorities. But anyway, that's a discussion to have at another time. I know we could gripe about John Cooper and all that, probably till we're blue in the face.
Right.
But as they say, it is what it is. Senator, we got to get in a break here, but I do thank you for making time for us this morning.
Hey, thank you for having me. I tell you what, we are excited about this road finally coming in. It's wish it could have been done 20 years ago and lives would have been saved, but we're very happy about that. And thank you so much for having me on the show.
Hey, Senator, as always, we appreciate it. We'll do it again real soon.
Thank you, sir.
Former State Senator Rusty Glover, ladies and gentlemen.